Radio.
Inspirational Women of the Church. A panel discussion at the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015, held at the Adelaide Convention Centre.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kelly Padgett, and it's my great honour to facilitate this panel here this afternoon of inspirational women working in our church. Myself, I do work in the church as well. I actually am the diocesan coordinator for youth ministry for the Diocese of Broken Bay. I have many callings in my life as I work in the church. So my first vocation, I suppose, is a wife and a mother, and also to a life of ministry for young people and working in diocesan world. My background is actually as a high school teacher, and I have a couple of my students in the front row who are the ones who will be heckling me and also cheering me on. So that's where I started my career, as well as being a parish-based youth minister before I moved into diocesan-based youth ministry. But you're not here to listen to me, actually. You're actually here to listen to these amazing women who are sitting beside me. And what will happen in our panel this afternoon is each of these fine young ladies will will have an opportunity to share their story about how they became involved in working in the church, what inspires them to do that and keeps them going through all the challenges. We'll then have, after all three have spoken, we'll have an opportunity for questions. And so that's your opportunity to field any questions or pass any questions on, to the panel. And we'll take our turn at answering those questions for you. So without any further ado, I would like to introduce to you our first panelist who will be speaking to you this afternoon. And that is Cassandra Bull, sitting right beside me here. Cassandra, or Cass, as she's more broadly known, is the State Youth Manager for Vinnies in Queensland. You probably have seen her in the expo space at the Vinnies store, or if you haven't, I encourage you to go and see her there very soon. She works in a number of areas in her Vinnies role, and she'll speak about many of those in supporting youth ministry activities. She's worked in East Timor, taking groups over there. She also has a really interesting story about how she became involved in this. She shared with that this online, actually in an email, how she became a Catholic, and hope she might share some of that with her us right now. So a big round of applause now for Cassandra Bull.
Thank you. So my voice is just this really amazing festival huskiness, and I feel like you can just embrace that. It's normally a lot more eloquent, but if it goes out, I'm going to do the rest in interpretive dance, okay? And it's really good, so let's hope that this goes. No, just kidding. So, like Kelly said, I'm the State Youth Manager for Queensland. I've been doing that for about 6 years now. It's almost a life sentence. I've got one more to go. But I started, so I was 15 when I actually was even introduced to Catholicism. I have a really interesting family background. Interesting, and I love them, but they're a little bit special. And none of them have a religious calling or religious ethos. So I'm the only Catholic in my immediate family, and that's cool because that means I can just own it and it's mine and they don't question me. I can just tell them that's what the church says and they have to believe me. They don't know. It's really good at Christmas time. They have to give me presents because that's the Catholic teaching. Don't tell them otherwise, please. It'll kill it. So I was 15 and my parents had separated, and the best thing they ever did to me, they could see that I was just becoming a little bit of a not-so-good teenager. I was getting a little bit of attitude. I know the people that know me, they wouldn't believe that, but I was a little bit like I knew everything and they couldn't tell me anything. And so they really wanted me to explore my, like, faith. They just wanted me to decide that for myself, and, like, I just thank them for that every single day because that's a pretty cool thing for a parent to do. You can go and choose. Like, if you like it, it's yours. If you don't like it, we don't care. We don't believe anyway. But I did like it, and I went to a meeting at the Catholic Church, and I met this other amazing woman who really should be here because she's inspirational. Her name was Donna McDade, who's now Donna Power. She's married and in from Brisbane. And she just had this energy about her. She just, you've all met them, right? This just person that just has energy and is in love and is happy, and I wasn't happy. And I was like, I want that. Like, whatever you are on, I want some. And I was hoping it would be like Coca-Cola or Red Bull or something really simple. It wasn't. So I became a Catholic at 15. I fell into my parish. I joined an Antioch group. So if you do ant, yes, A-N-T, we'll do it later. Outside, just rock it. So I joined Antioch, became a leader in Antioch. I went to a state high school, and then I went on a thing called Movers and Shakers, which the Queensland Bishops run, this awesome program, and did leadership training. And I just, you know, I just felt like home. And then when I was 17, I moved out of home because I didn't really have that stable bringing, I guess, and I went away to university, and I fell into a group called Edmund Rice Camps. Is anyone here an Eddie Ricer? Yeah, that's so, you're all amazing. Everyone's amazing, but special amazing people here. So I did Eddie Rice Camps, and they're just awesome. I really encourage you. I work for Vinny's, but I encourage you to go to their expo store. They do amazing stuff. And I fell in love with Edmund Rice. Like, I love what they do. I love what they stand for. They give kids a better place. And I was like, oh, this is making sense. And I kind of fell into that part of the church. So I wasn't going to Mass regularly when I was at uni, but I was, like, committed to what the action was. Following Edmund Rice, I moved back to Brisbane and I became a youth ministry coordinator. I don't know how that happened. God works in very mysterious ways. Somehow I ended up being the youth ministry coordinator for my parish. I don't even remember applying for that job. I think I just fell into it. And it was awesome. And we were preparing for World Youth Day in 2008. Did anyone go to World Youth? I'm like showing my, yay, people old, thank you. I've been like talking about 2008 and I was like, we were still in primary school. That's okay, that's cool. Because you're going to be talking like that in 5 years' time and you're going to feel the same thing as me right now. So I'm trying to get through a very big story. Went to prepare for World Youth Day 2008. And I got this opportunity to go to Catholic, opportunity with Catholic Mission to go to East Timor for 3 weeks. I was like, yeah, I'm in. I love that stuff. I live for that stuff. I'm coming. But when I went to resign, so I was working for youth ministry and I was also working for Coles, represent. And I was so good. I can scan stuff really quickly. I can show you later if you like, and bag and lift. And Coles weren't really keen to let me go for 3 weeks because it was like peak time and I wasn't on holidays. And like, I'm just one of those people, like, you tell me I can't do something, challenge accepted. So I quit my job. Parents were so happy about that. And then I went to the priest at the church where I was working, and I'm like, I'm just going to drop this on you and you're not going to like it, but I'm going to East Timor and I'm going to go for 3 months. And he's like, oh, we're leading up to World Youth Day. I'm like, I just know it's going to be okay. Sorry, this is what I'm doing. Crying. Like, I was crying. This is what I'm doing. So I went to East Timor for 3 months. That became 2 years. That's what I do. I had a great time over there. I worked in youth ministry with the Catholic Church. It was amazing. They have nothing, but they're so happy and there's joy there. And I think there's lots we can learn from them. I taught English. I actually worked on a program which is teaching about HIV/AIDS in a religious context, and they are just transcending how they do stuff. Like, the Catholic Church was teaching about HIV/AIDS. It's amazing, and they're doing incredible stuff. And I was involved in that project. And then in 2010, I got seriously sick, and I got care flighted out of East Timor, and I landed back in Brisbane. I was like, oh, what do I do now? And there was this job going for Vinny's, and I was like, yeah, I need to get paid to eat. I hadn't worked for 2 years. And I landed there, and again, like, God just, he puts you where you're meant to be. Like, I wish he wouldn't have given me an illness. Like, I think he could have just talked to me about it and I would have left East Timor. That would have been okay. If you're listening next time, just tell me. But he struck me down with illness, put me in a care flight. That's cool. Like, I obviously wasn't listening. And landed in Vinny's, and I've been there ever since, and I'll be there forever because it's home for me. I love what I do, and I get to talk to people like you all the time. I don't think I'm very inspirational, but what I do have to share is my passion and my love, and you guys have it too. And I feel like whenever we do this, we just share and we transcend it. You nourish me, I nourish you, and that's what church and community is all about. So that's my story, in a way. There's many challenges along the way, and I'm happy to answer questions later. But for me, faith in action. Like, we can't just go to church unless we're willing to listen to that and go out. We have to go out and we have to go forth and we have to put that in action out in the world. And the world is broken and the world needs us, yeah? Like, we see what's going on in France. We see what's going on with our Indigenous brothers and sisters where we're sitting in this land right now. and they're struggling and they need us. And the refugees, we've got 12,000 Syrians coming next year, and please welcome them with open arms. And that's me. That's where my heart sings. Every day is not work for me, because when you're alive and when you're passionate and when you're in that zone, like, God just provides. And so I feel very privileged that I get paid. Yes, thank you. I get paid for, like, eternal volunteering and making a difference. So it's really awesome. And that, oh, Siri's not sure what I said. I'll tell you later, Siri. We can chat, Siri. It's okay. And that's my story. So thank you for listening to that.
Thank you so much, Kath. And I think it's, well, wonderful. Don't know who you are now. I think it's amazing. One of the things that really struck me right there at the end when you said it's what makes my heart sing, and I think very much probably would be the same for all four of us, is working with the church, you have to have a particular calling. And yes, we do get paid, sometimes more than others. but it is, unless it's making your heart sing and giving you that energy and that passion, that's what gives, and it's particularly being with people like who we have gathered here, that's what makes our hearts sing. So it's that God moment of God, I think, coming out of our hearts and interacting. So thank you very much for sharing. So now we have Sister Bernadette. A woo. She deserves a woo. Sister Berna, as she's more commonly known, has spent 15 years working with youth ministry, and she had the great pleasure of actually journeying around Australia with the World Youth Day Cross and Icon leading up to World Youth Day 2008 that Cass was speaking about. She's now, if you hadn't noticed the brown tone of her garments, she is a sister with the Missionary of God's Love, MGLs, and she's going to share about her vocation and how she's begun working with church. So let's have a big round of applause for Sister Berna.
So thanks very much, Kelly, and thank you all for coming. So yeah, that's true. My name's Berna, and I'm currently living in Melbourne at the moment with the Missionaries of God's Love Sisters. We've set up a stall in the expo, and on the stall it says, "We're on fire for the young and the poor," and that really sums up the call of my life long before I joined the MGLs. But that's part of the reason as to why I became a sister with that particular order. So I'm just going to share a little bit about how I came into youth ministry and just why my heart is so on fire for that young people all throughout Australia would know about God's love for them. If you think about missionaries of God's love, that's who we are for every single person, but particularly with the young and particularly with the poor. So I didn't always want to be a sister. I used to play weddings in the backyard with my own sister, you know, walking down the aisle with like a nice, you know, a veil and that sort of thing. So it was a little bit of a surprise to me that this is where I've ended up on my journey. But it's a great life, and I wouldn't swap it for the world, really. I love being a sister, and in particular, I love the opportunities that we have to work particularly with young people. And so I think how I first got inspired to be more of a part of the church was actually at a World Youth Day myself. I was a young person, I was about 21. I just finished uni, so I did commerce and marketing at uni. And I was in a youth group. I was actually in an Antioch group as well, which is a Catholic parish youth group. I had a boyfriend at that time as well, so when I was 21. And like I said, I just finished uni and I found myself at this World Youth Day. So it was in Germany, a country I'd never thought I would go to. And I found myself surrounded by other pilgrims. So I went with 100 other pilgrims from Adelaide and Port Pirie, where I was living at the time. I was living in Adelaide. And on that experience, I went there because I knew people went to World Youth Day and they had an experience of fun and they had a real experience of faith as well. And that were the two things that I really wanted more than anything. But I didn't think that my life would really change by going to that World Youth Day at all. But what happened was there was this one particular night, we sat down with one of the priests from our group and we just started asking him all the questions that we wanted to know about the church. Why does the church teach this? Why do we have to do that? Why is this important? And we just absolutely pummeled him literally till 3 o'clock in the morning with all of our questions about the church. And he just answered every single one of them. And I was really challenged by that actually, because I didn't believe everything that the church believed. I was just a fairly regular young person. the light going out to nightclubs and having a drink and dancing with my friends and doing all the sorts of things that everyday young people would do. There wasn't anything particularly that made my life different from any other young person in Australia at that point. So I was quite challenged when I heard him speaking about some of the things that the church is really calling us to. And he was really challenging us, just saying there's more, maybe there's more to life. You know, maybe there's more here on offer for you, particularly at that World Youth Day. And the next day I found myself at Mass and I was so grumpy, like staying up till 3 a.m. when you've got to get up at 7 is probably not the best idea to start with. I was grumpy with this priest because I didn't agree with everything that he said. But in that Mass that day, something really powerful happened, and it's the moment that has just set my heart on fire for the work that I continue to do today. And what happened was they played the song Open My Eyes, Lord, which we heard yesterday. And I just felt like when they were playing that song, I felt like God was speaking that straight to my heart. And he was just saying, open your eyes, Bernard. There's so much more out there for you. Open your ears. Listen to what this man's saying. Open your heart, Lord. Let me into your heart. Let me into those places where you might not want me to be. And it really changed me. And I think that whole experience of being at a World Youth Day, imagine this event is going to change so many people's lives. And it was an event on a scale multiple times, this kind of event. And I really felt changed by that experience. And I actually prayed at the end of my time of being away. I just said to the Lord, I'll just do whatever you want, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll just do it. And I guess at that point, I really meant it. And I thought I'd probably go overseas and work in South America somewhere. But I really, really meant it. And I came home and I made some changes in my life after that encounter with God. And I actually broke up with my boyfriend. I started studying theology and I moved into a Catholic young adults community. That were the three kind of changes that I made. But the changes kind of kept happening and it felt like my life was now on a completely different course. Like I'd studied marketing and I didn't want to do that anymore. I just wanted to share what I'd experienced at that World Youth Day with every other young person in Australia. And I started to do that. Like the priest who I was talking about, he invited me to come to his youth group and up in Port Pirie in South Australia. And I shared my story and I realised that other young people needed to know this. They needed to know that God loved them in that way, that God has a great plan for them. And so that's what started to happen. And I had the chance to go around Australia as well in 2008 with the World Youth Day Cross, an icon of Our Lady. And that was the same thing. I got to go into hundreds of communities and just speak to young people and share that story I've just shared with you, just to tell them that at the World Youth Day that was coming up in 08, that God wanted to encounter them in that same way. And I didn't quite realise it at the time, but I was travelling with two MGLs and I hadn't quite pieced it together that maybe that's where I would end up. But just seeing the love that they had for young people really inspired me, and I met the sisters for the first time at that point as well. And I started to think, well, maybe this is something that I want to do for the rest of my life. And when I came home, I was looking again. I was at a bit of a crossroads. I was looking for marketing jobs and I didn't get any. I went to heaps of job interviews and the job that I ended up getting was a youth ministry job in a school that I had for 3 years. And I just again found it was such a privilege to work alongside young people and telling them just that God loves them and that God is really wanting to be there for them in every way. And in the midst of my own discernment about becoming a sister, it was something that I had this image in my head of being a consecrated woman and just giving my whole life for the young people of this country. And I discerned that with Sister Hilda on a retreat when I was about 26. And I just had that image in my head of being completely given for the young people of this nation in that way. And I just think it's the cry of a lot of young people's heart that they would know that they're loved and that they would know that God loves them in that way. And that's what we're really on fire for as MGLs, that we're really on fire that God would know, that young people would know that God really loves them in that way. And I just wanted to share just really briefly with you one particular story that kind of sums up why I do this? And it was that I met a young girl on the JCI, the Journey of the Cross and Icon, and we travelled with her for about 5 days, and she came to a lot of events. And one particular day I prayed with her at the foot of the World Youth Day Cross, and she wrote me a card later and she said that was the most beautiful thing anyone had done for her. No one had ever bothered to pray with her before, and I just kind of kept that in my heart. It really set me on fire. And just a few weeks ago I was at an event, so I'm a sister now. I've been a sister for 4 years. I was at a youth event and chatting to lots of young people, and this quite familiar face popped up in front of me and gave me the biggest hug I've ever, kind of one of the biggest hugs I've ever had. And I looked in this face and I knew this face. This was 8 years ago, and the girl in front of me was the same girl that I'd prayed with at that cross. And I just thought, this is amazing that I would encounter her again in this way. And I just kind of thought, this is why I do what I do, that the young people that we minister to, it might be one conversation and then we move on, but that they would still know God 8 years later, and that connection would still be there. Just really is what sets my heart on fire for the work that we do. There's heaps of challenges in being in the church, whether you're female or male. There's heaps of challenges in this work. It's hard work. We're fighting a battle. There's not that many people, on our team, it can seem sometimes. We can feel quite isolated. And it's a challenging life to live the call of a Christian. We have to give up our whole life for this, and there's things that we won't be able to do. There's things that we'll have to say no to. But the two things that keep me going is that God wants to speak to me just like he did at that World Youth Day. He wants to speak to me like that every day, like every day in the chapel. He wants to still have that message, and he wants that for all of you as well. So the two things that fire me up is that I still know that God loves me in that way. The second thing is just seeing that young people have that experience as well. Seeing a young person just be so fired up with the love of God at events like this and in the retreats that we run in our work as sisters. Just seeing those young people know God, even though, we're in the minority here in Australia, if you are a young person that believe in God. Despite all of that, seeing young people still continuing in their faith is what really inspires me. Thank you.
Thanks, Sister Berna. That was, I think you just showcased even your witness in what you just did there is an amazing gift of the feminine genius, and that is an ability to harness our vulnerability and share the deepest inmost of our heart. And I think that's a beautiful witness of your faith, and I think that's a very powerful thing that the women can bring to our church, and thank you for sharing that with us and being so open to that. So thank you again. Yeah, thanks. So our last member of our panel this afternoon, first I'd like to really thank her. She came in at the last minute for us. Our original panelist had to pull out for some extraordinary work matters that have popped up for her today, and Geraldine has come in at this last minute. So thank you so much for coming in and filling our last place on this panel. But in many ways, I think it's so extraordinary that you're actually the one who's turned up here today. Geraldine is the Executive Officer for the South Australian Council of Churches, so her passion is really ecumenism. She has just recently been to the United States, where she was one of only three keynote speakers at a major conference speaking on interfaith dialogue. She is highly involved in the life of the church here in Adelaide. And back in the 1990s, she was part of a full-time leadership team that worked with the Archbishop to lead the Archdiocese here. So, and it was very important that was a gender-balanced team. And so that team consisted of, with the Archbishop, the Vicar General, they had a religious, and they had a laywoman. And so we really thank Geraldine for being here today. And we're looking forward to hearing more of your story. So big round of applause for Geraldine.
Thank you for that. And the first thing I had to check was how to use the microphone. But it's thank you for coming along to this session, first of all, because I think the conversations I've been hearing around the place have been that it's about conversation. And it's wonderful to have this place where we can listen and learn, and then gathering that up in prayer, either at the beginning of the day or the end of the day or in between. One of the things I would want to say, I suppose, is that I wouldn't want to think that we make a career in the Catholic Church or any church that is better than any other role we find ourselves in life. So I know some of you are studying and some of you are in workplaces, some of you are at home, and whatever we do in our lives, that there's the opportunity to be people in mission, living out the gospel in our daily lives. It so happens each of us have found ourselves, I certainly found myself, literally, in working in the Catholic Archdiocese of Adelaide and then working in the area of ecumenism in South Australia and some national and international work, as was described. And I also was invited several years ago to be the inaugural chair of the Commission for Australian Catholic Women, and that was a voluntary role. So it's the opportunity to actually use the gifts we have, in my experience. And how I came into working in the Archdiocese of Adelaide here was coming here as a migrant 27 years ago. Prior to that, living in Glasgow, I was pregnant with, it was our fifth pregnancy, with two children already and two miscarriages. And I was expecting with this fifth pregnancy to be coming here to Australia as a mother of a new baby. And the baby was stillborn. Her name was Jennifer. So she was stillborn. And I thought, this doesn't make sense. It was such a wrench. And then leaving my country, my family, and coming to this country. And I tell you this wee bit of the story, because Paul, my husband, and I were looking for work, naturally. And it was week 3 in Australia. And he read the paper, and he saw a job in the Catholic Archdiocese, and he said he was going to apply for it. And I looked at it too, and I thought, well, actually, that's my job, but I'll just not say anything. So Paul proceeded with his application, and that was a Saturday. On the Sunday, he refined it. On the Monday morning, he turned to me and he said, I actually think this might be a job for you. And I just quietly acknowledged that and put in my application, which I'd been mentally working on. And I put in my application, was invited for interview, and was appointed. And so it is. I mean, when people say to you, what's your career plan? I've never had a career plan. But rather, it's how we move with an openness to receive invitations or opportunities, or alternatively, to create opportunities. And the creating of opportunities is in response to the world. It comes out of the way in which Christ moved around and lingered with people. And the story that has sustained me, I've stayed with one piece of scripture for nearly 17 years now, and it's the story of the woman with the hemorrhage. And there are times that, the woman with the hemorrhage, she was suffering for years and years. She moves forward, she touches the fringe of Jesus' cloak, and Jesus stops, turns, and listens. The crowd, the disciples say, it's your imagination, keep moving, we've got places to go and things to do. So I have stayed with that story because there are times in my life when I'm like the woman, I'm really on the edge and suffering. There are times when I'm like the crowd, the disciples, when I'm the discouraging voice in life, in my community, and I'm not paying attention. The place I yearn to be is where Christ placed himself consistently, and which is the gospel message, which is the capacity, no matter what we are doing, to actually stop, to turn, and to listen. So that's an abiding story with myself. And I would like to think that in my better days, I'm walking the way of Christ, but I recognize it's not always. I would struggle with church often, you know, with the Catholic Church and with all the other churches, the other Christian communities, in different ways. But I have made a commitment to stay Catholic. It's been a conscious decision. I'm part of Salisbury Catholic community in the north of Adelaide. And it's a very diverse community, and I'm active within it in refugee matters on occasion, on setting up for 9 o'clock Mass in a Sunday morning, and in many other ways, you know, just in general hospitality. I would have to say, if it wasn't for that faith community and the gathering for Eucharist and listening to the gospel week in, week out, that I would feel bereft in some way. As I see people going forward every Sunday to receive communion, there is something of the simplicity and the complexity of our human lives manifest. So actually getting to know the people, knowing what's happening in their lives, and remembering them and the joys and the anxieties we each carry. So that's, I think it's not just about what we do, but more especially about who we are. And the invitation, as I think each has described already, to actually think about who you are, who are you called to be, and what response are you able to offer for the short term, if not for the long term. Thank you.
Thank you, Geraldine. And I felt very at home, a little home truth. My mother's Glaswegian, so I sat here thinking I was at home with my family just then. But thank you. And that beautiful phrase that you picked up there, the simplicity and the complexity of humanity. I know that when we celebrate Mass tomorrow night, and particularly when I go home, I think I'll be focusing on that, watching people going down to communion, but also for myself, at the stage of life I'm at as a woman in the church, I have a 1.5-year-old and a 4-year-old, both boys. And Mass at times can be chaotic, as my husband's also heavily involved in the parish life. So I'm normally at Sunday Mass child wrangling. And so to think of that simplicity and the complexity of humanity as it's gathered there is a beautiful image. So thank you very much. We've all had different journeys, but it's funny the similarities in that, and it's that calling, I think, that you have in following that calling. And in no matter where God takes you, it's following that path, and that path of loving each other and continuing to express that love of God with those around us. We're going to head into some question time now. So just if you have a question, I'd invite you to come forward to the front here, and we do have a microphone. But just why people come forward, I didn't tell you this question because it came to my mind a second ago when we talked about the hemorrhaging woman. If you had a favorite woman from Scripture, who would it be and why? Sister Berner, straight on it.
Right, so my favourite woman from Scripture is the Samaritan woman. So she's the woman by the well, and I love her because she really doesn't like Jesus to start with. She thinks he's really annoying, I think, and she thinks she doesn't know what he's doing. It's in the heat of the day, and they're having this conversation, and he's saying, "Give me a drink," and she's saying, "You haven't got a bucket," and there's kind of this exchange. But basically, Jesus just talks to her very simply, and he. In some ways, he challenges her as well. He says, "I know your life." He says, "I know that you're quite broken. I know that your heart is quite sad. I know that men maybe haven't treated you so well." And he says, "I'll give you living water. I'm that living water that you're looking for. I'm the one that you're looking for." And it says that she goes back to her town and she says, "I met a man who told me everything I've ever done." And she goes and she evangelizes her town. So her testimony, her conversation with Jesus and that encounter that she had with him was something that she took back to her village, and she told them about Jesus. And I just think that's awesome to go from not liking him at all to then just being like, oh, I want to tell the world about you. I think that's an amazing exchange and just showed something beautiful about Jesus as well. So that's my favourite.
I'm going to be really naughty. I'm not going to pick something from scripture. I'm just going to pick an inspirational woman in the church. So obviously I work for Vinnie's, and we were founded by five young men. They were aged 20, which is incredible. But what people don't know is there was an amazing woman behind. Of course, behind the scenes is a really great woman. And her name was Rosalie Rondeau. And I challenge you to Google her. She's amazing. I can't tell you a story because my voice, I can't act it out. Like, so interpretive dance isn't going to get us through this, but she's incredible. And she was the guide. So when like Vinnie's is all about work in action, right? And these men, which, you know, they do. No, boys are here. They got together and they're like, we're going to do something. And she's like, well, why don't you do something good for people? And she actually told them where to go, like in a nice way. She didn't say go over there. So she told them where to go. She guided them, and then she brought them back together and taught them to reflect. And she was part of the Daughters of Charity, and she's just incredible. So Google her, Rosalie Rondeau. She doesn't get enough cred. Yeah, we need to make her a saint. So you need to help me do that.
unless it was...
Just very quickly, I mean, it wasn't so much who do I admire, but rather when I was out walking one morning years and years ago, I found myself saying the Hail Mary, and I suddenly was welled up with some emotion, because it was that sense, I have to say, of jealousy about Mary saying yes to Christ. And that was quite unnerving for me in many ways. So there was that, but The women I particularly stay with are those who remained at the foot of the cross, because I think that's a place where women are often called to be, that we don't know exactly who was all there, but that's staying with people in their time of suffering and being present and not necessarily saying anything, but just being there. So the women at the foot of the cross...
I think for me, Mary has become increasingly evident in my life journey. It's funny that she pops up at every World Youth Day, and I've had a number of World Youth Day encounters. She always pops up, but I think she's often pictured as this woman who is meek and mild, and she was those things too. But the courage to say yes to God, to have a child, is just astounds me. I think even probably more so now that I've had two children, for someone to say yes to that is incredible. And so, and for all the things, I mean, she said to Jesus, she asked Jesus for things, and she that courage to ask Jesus, can you fix this wine situation we have here? We've run out of wine, it's really bad. And Jesus listened to her. So it really gives that example of speaking to Jesus.
That was a panel discussion on inspirational women in the church. This panel discussion is from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015 and was recorded as a collaboration between XT3 and Cradio. And for more from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival, and for more interviews, talks and shows, visit cradio.org.au.